What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now. What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we examine and explore the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We explore the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur and your host, Joshua Nussbaum. And on today's show, I have a guest that's very near and dear to me, somebody that has been a huge asset in my life and in my world that I'm incredibly enthusiastic to share with you. I have Callie Choladanko. Say hi, Callie.
Hello, hello. I'm so happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. I know we've been trying to coordinate this for a bit, and I am looking for your resume to see if we can see how long this took us to actually get it fired up and actually have you on the show. But now that we finally do, I have no doubt in my mind that it's going to be extraordinarily beneficial to our listeners. I know that in the beginning, when we first started, we had some differing views on some social media approaches. But as we've both gotten better, we seem to have developed a lot of likeness. We seem to have developed a lot more similarities. So I've explored the entrepreneur path, starting with fitness. You've done a very parallel route, but starting from the expertise of social media. For those of you that don't know who Callie Choladanko is, she is the founder of Something Social. She's the creative director, founder, and CEO. It's a creative agency, does everything from social strategy, branding, generation of the creative content, social media engagement. Callie's been a speaker, I don't even know, you know, 100 times between showing up at events in person, like Social Media Marketing World and Simply. She hosts workshops. I think she teaches a college class on social media. Where do you teach that?
Yes, I do at FITM, the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in Los Angeles.
Beautiful, beautiful. Primarily, tell me a little bit about some of the brands that you've worked with. I can go on and brag a little later in the podcast about being featured in Boss Lady Magazine. And actually, my favorite is you being called from the Cochrane firm to be an expert witness in a court case on some of the implications of social media and how they apply to the relevancy of obviously the case, but you know, life in general. So yeah, tell me a little bit about who you are, what you do, and some of the clients that you've worked with so far.
Absolutely. Yeah. Never did I ever think that going into social media management, I was going to end up an expert witness in a court trial. But I think, you know, that really just speaks to the industry and how much it has evolved and how much it has now entered every other industry virtually on the planet. I don't think you could find, you know, a business or a brand or a person that some way, somehow doesn't need social media or doesn't use it in their everyday lives. So from starting this a few years back, we've grown to focus mostly on brands and businesses in the lifestyle industries. So that ranges from everything from fashion, fitness, health, wellness, beauty, nightlife, entertainment, celebrities, influencers, kind of dermatology, plastic surgery, everything that you could kind of fit in that lifestyle bucket, ranging from, you know, Westfield Malls, Skechers, 901, which is a big celebrity hair salon in LA, and kind of everything in between.
Yeah, and you know what's cool that I really like about your approach is I've seen you do a lot of different styles of brand, although a lot of them have been in the same vein as far as lifestyle, beauty. I've seen you do some fitness stuff. I remember when you were a senior at USC and we were having a discussion. Callie and I go way back, by the way. I've known Callie a very, very long time, and she's a dear friend of mine and has become an ally and a counterpart in entrepreneurship, so to speak. She's someone whose opinion I value and can call to bounce things off of. I remember having a conversation with you when you were kind of deciding your next step. I think this was prior to knowing that you were going to launch something social, which ended up being an absolutely explosive success, which I'm so stoked to just see the opportunities that continue to open up to you and the courses you do and the speaking that you do. It's pretty wild because of how far back we go, just continuing to watch you level up. It's been a pleasure from my standpoint. But I remember talking to you and when we were talking about your next step, I was like, my guidance to you only being, you know, 5-6 years ahead of you, I think, was learn whatever interests you or launch something in the field that interests you. But the reality is that the principles of success are pretty pervasive. So while the tips and tricks may vary industry to industry, if you learn something that is fundamentally sound, right? So marketing or business, or you've always been a very social butterfly and good at that piece, no matter what you do, whether it's law, like your dad does, or life coaching or business consulting or social media or going to work for, you know, a Fortune 500 company, those things and elements would translate and help you be successful in whatever you're doing. Thinking back now, I don't think you could have hit the nail on the head harder with learning a skill that would allow, you know, our generation of entrepreneurial ADD to constantly be a strength instead of a weakness, where you get to delve into a bunch of different elements and ranges that interest you, which I think is something that a lot of our up and coming budding entrepreneurs really aspire to, is to, you know, have a main thing, but for that main thing to have multiple veins, because I think we're shifting pretty aggressively away from the cubicle type lifestyle and the people that are growing up and being successful instead of working their way up through an individual company for 15, 20, 25 years, you know, are averaging probably 5 or 6 different occupations. So I think you picked a pretty badass occupation that allows you to constantly be reinventing yourself while keeping the core competencies similar.
Yeah, I think you're totally spot on with that. And I remember you giving me that advice. And, you know, every step of the way, I've always kind of called you up or asked to meet or asked for some of your time, because I so respect and admire the way that you've really embodied the skill set you just said, which is no matter what field or industry it is, the principles remain the same. And I've always admired your your genius and your creativity and your business, you know, natured mind. And I remember even after it launched and sitting down with you and talking through some engagement techniques and how, you know, to start setting this all up. And it really is about setting that foundation and learning those principles so that you can move forward super powerfully and then also be able to apply it across so many different areas and interests. And to be honest, it was kind of a selfish, self-serving thing for me to go into social and lifestyle industries because I had so many interests. I was, you know, I didn't want to pigeonhole myself into fashion and I didn't want to have to only focus on one area. I was really very much interested in a lot of different industries and luckily was able to carve out a company and a job that allows me to have so many different touch points.
Well, look, you do be, do have, right? What do I want to have? What do I have to do to get there? And who do I have to be in order to do what I have to do in order to have what I want to have? And if your have was not pigeonholing yourself and not having to just stay in one lane, I think you knocked that ball out of the park. I think it's a perfect segue into the fact that every time I get on the phone with you and ask for your advice or show you an influencer or, you know, I see you start to tinker with a different concept and I'm like, holy fuck, I want to utilize that. And I get on the phone with you and I'm like, hey, how do you organize that so that it looks organic? And, you know, what designer do you use or whatever? You know, I feel like you drop truth bombs on me and I start the call. Hey, just casually, I had a quick question for you. It's only going to be 5 minutes. And then by the end of an hour and 15 minute phone call, I have 3 pages of notes. So I don't want to be selfish with you and hog you as a resource. I wanted to give you my platform to expose you to my audience so that you can give some of your touch points and bullets and gems to the average human being. I shouldn't say average, to an aspiring entrepreneur. I have a lot of people that listen to me that own brands. I have a lot of listeners that are, you know, one of the few hundred athletes in our ambassador program for Rev Labs, or just, you know, fitness entrepreneurs that have personal training and lifestyle and YouTube and vlogs that have a really substantial audience and are looking to really, A, they have stuff to add and value to contribute, but they don't know where to start. Or B, they have a really decent overall frame of reference and concept of like of some of the do's and don'ts, but they're struggling on scaling that. So I know that you told me prior to getting on the cast during the interview, you were saying, you know, I think what most people struggle with is either A, not knowing where to start, right? But once somebody has gotten started, because I think the average bear is growing up in a social media age, right? Where people are able to document and record and post and create content relatively seamlessly. The struggle is more of how do I create consistent content so that I don't seem erratic? You were telling me that a lot of the brands, especially when they have a figurehead that's very involved, and or they're like, you know, a fitness entrepreneur that has a blog and a YouTube channel and they sell meal plans, but they also have a couple of sponsors and they're also a human being that like has a dog that's unrelated to fitness. You say a lot of people struggle between finding the balance of posting about their professional life and their business theme versus posting about just straight personal stuff. I think personally, if you're overly personal, it seems unprofessional or distracting from what you're trying to get your audience to do. And obviously, if you're too professional, you know, there's a lack of an ability for the audience to identify with you, and it lacks something that I know you preach a lot to me, which is the human element, which is identification, not of what your brand is, but identification in the sense that the user or the customer or the client or just the average bear that follows you is able to identify with you, where you're not sitting up on some high pedestal producing just like, you know, stuff that's really high quality maybe. And it's constantly branded and it's constantly infographics. And then you turn into an Under Armour, which, you know, 3 years ago was, you know, a freaking gangster and one of the top three apparel companies in the world. And, you know, they spent their money on doing Steph Curry stuff. I know you love Golden. No, I know you love the Lakers. I'm more of a Golden State guy. And they spent their advertising money on TV commercials during the NBA finals, which is, you know, very professional, very like, you know, highbrow, high profile type stuff, but they lacked the ability to have their audience identify with them. You know, something I watched in a conference that I was actually speaking at, I went and watched another keynote there, and he said something beautiful. He's like, you want to know why you don't do TV commercials? And I'm sitting there going, you know, yeah, I have about 30 fucking reasons you don't do TV commercials. They're like, you know, they're like print ads, right? But he said it really, really well. He's like, dude, if you're watching the Super Bowl, you know what happens if you don't have it recorded and you're not DVRing it and starting it 15 minutes late so you can fast forward through the commercials? And the Super Bowl might be a bad example because the Super Bowl has really awesome commercials, if you ask me. But you know, if you're watching a sporting event, you know, old school media companies think you go and you reach your audience by just targeting your demographic of like, okay, people that are interested in the NBA will be interested in my basketball sneakers, which might have been the case in the era of, you know, 1986 and, you know, through 95 and the original, you know, Michael Jordans, you know, which have now come back, which is cool. But now when people are going to the TV for this sporting event, as soon as the commercials come on, if they can't fast forward, you know what the fuck they're doing? They're picking up their goddamn iPhone and they're checking their Instagram. So I would way rather approach and hear from somebody like you, who's a boss that's created success through so many different verticals, capturing that attention and teaching the balance between the professional element without being overly professional and being TV commercial-esque, and then the personal element, which allows people to identify with you, making you feel like even if you're a $1 billion company or a celebrity hair salon, while they know that you're cool, they also know that you're a brand of, by, and for the people. I think that was like a FUBU quote, roughly paraphrased. But talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, you said it so perfectly, and I actually love that example. That's where the audience is. We're all on mobile all the time. And I think we've established that. And, you know, that's why there's interest in a podcast like yours and in people like us. And
aside from our dashing good looks?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Decent content too. I agree. Proceed.
I think, you know, one of the biggest complaints, struggles, hurdles, questions that we get on a very consistent basis is no one's just one job anymore or one definition. Everyone is a multi-hyphenate. So like you said, you're a business owner slash trainer slash wellness expert slash, I don't know, Reiki healer slash dad slash dog owner. Slash, you know, there's all of these terms and identifications that we now have to put ourselves in different categories. And I think there are very few people in this little entrepreneurial age or who are starting businesses or doing what they're doing who would classify themselves under one specific defined, you know, subset. I think there's a striving to have your hand in a lot of different areas. And I think that that's just the nature of our times. And so with that comes some confusion and some uncertainty in how do I then message that out to the world? So we get a lot of, you know, business owners, or we get a lot of influencers who then have a brand coming to us saying, I don't know when to talk about my brand. I don't know when to talk about my company. I don't know when to talk about myself. I noticed that, you know, on my company page, if we post me, it does really well. And if we do something else, it doesn't perform well. Does that mean I should do more of it? Or, you know, all I do is post this one thing, therefore I know who my audience is, but I have all this expertise in another area and I want to talk about it, but I don't want people to get bored or unfollow me or sit there wondering why I'm posting that. And so unfortunately what this leads to is a lot of uncertainty, a lot of stress, a lot of overwhelm. I think for most people, social media in general is already tough enough to know what are the new platforms? What am I supposed to be doing? What are best practices? Oh, the algorithm. Now what do I do? Mm-hmm. It's changing all the time. And so as one brand or one person or one company, it's hard enough to organize yourself, let alone when you throw in having these different subsets or brands or areas that you could be talking about. It's really a struggle for a lot of people to understand, when do I post? What do I post? How do I post? And how do I talk about everything I have going on without either alienating or boring or forcing it even?
Yeah, very, very good point. I know I hear like the words coming out of your mouth, but I feel like I'm listening to the talks that I have with my ambassadors. And it's funny because, you know, I've accumulated a decent social following, you know, amongst all my pages. I'm at a few million followers. You know, I'm not astronomical.
No big deal.
Well, believe me, I mean, I laugh and I'm not downplaying it. I'm putting it, the reason I'm not saying I'm a gangster for having done that is because the guys that are coming to me for guidance or advice, what I was going to say is they're saying the exact same thing that you just said you hear. They're saying to me, and I'm like, dude, you're infinitely better looking than I am. Or what the hell? You have tits and you have like 39 certifications and you have a following that's six times mine. But still, you know, it's almost like this, the same piece you feel before you start is the same thing you feel when you grow and you're trying to scale is almost the same feeling that you feel when you're at critical mass, which is you get people, especially if they're perfectionists, they get stuck in, you know, that stress and that chaos that you're talking about. And that creates this fucking analysis paralysis. And one thing you've always driven home with me that I've always driven home with employees or ambassadors is consistency is key. And if you are stuck in this analysis paralysis, inconsistency is almost a given because it's not going to flow. You don't have a strategy in place. And, you know, look, competence breeds confidence, right? When you're getting decent at something, you become more confident at it. You start to embody it. You start to develop that swagger of like, all right, cool. I'm going to play with this concept. I'm going to tinker it a little bit. I want to just freaking give. I want to elevate with my education. I want to make people's lives better. I'm feeling fucking feisty today. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to pull my shirt down a little bit and play up the sexy kind of fucking vixen, even if they're a straight shooter and have a boyfriend and the whole like glam diva thing isn't their realm. Mm-hmm. You know, you start to hit that kind of creative stride where you're able to be empowered enough to explore within your subset and not blatantly fragment or alienate your audience. But if you the complete opposite is true too. If you're stuck in an analysis paralysis and you, instead of like the competence and the confidence, you're feeling the stress and the chaos, you know, that's going to lead to diminished results. It's going to lead to shitty behaviors, right? And if your behaviors are not right, your mindset is not right, you know, you're going to start to show that lack of clear, I can flow within my lane and I know how to fucking shift gears and I can play this or I can play that. And it's going to seem distracted. And if you lose your credibility and you're not growing and you're feeling shitty, there's two alternatives and there's really nothing else. It's either learn and implement the solution to the problems and to the state of mind that you articulated, and I can vouch from personal experience. I've heard the same thing over and over and over again. How much Rev Labs do I post? How much, you know, dog selfies do I post? You know, selfies with my dog, whatever. You either learn how to put the mechanisms in place and the strategy in place to circumvent that so you're not operating from a place of analysis paralysis and frustration and diminished results, or you fail socially. Because there's really no other option. Is you adapt and you learn the fucking solutions, or you're not. I mean, you're not even playing the game. And if you are playing the game, you're playing a losing game.
So true.
You're speaking my language, babe. I mean, 100%. I want to pass you the mic. Although technically, I guess we're both on the mic. I'll sit here like P. Diddy and go, yeah, And I just want you to be. Yeah, I'll be the hype man. You be the Biggie Smalls right now. I know you guys physically resemble each other quite a bit. You know, I think when Biggie was writing it, it was all a dream. And Juicy, I think he imagined you and I sitting here on a podcast quoting him, a blonde hair, pretty-eyed Jewish American princess from Los Angeles quoting his lyrics. So you know,
Here's
to you, Biggie. I think we're really fulfilling your vision. That being said, Gally, I want you to kind of take the floor and talk us through some of the solutions of breaking through this you know, shitty state that people want to play in the social realm. People want to succeed. People want to be a person to be able to get and to be able to give, but it requires certain fundamentals. So, you know, speaking not so much just to the average bear that wants to have followers just because. Talk to me a little bit about what either a brand has to do or a personal brand or an influencer that is attempting to grow their influence in order to, you know, convey a message and to contribute the value that you know, they've accumulated themselves and or monetize their audience. I think it starts by a big piece of it starts by building the following, and if you have something sound, being able to reach more people. So talk me through some of the, you know, solution oriented pieces, or I'm sure people can identify with what the problem is or what we say we experience and feel with a lot of people. Tell me what the fuck to do about it.
Absolutely. I'm actually so excited to be talking about this because I really do think it will help keep things organized and get to a point, get out of that state of analysis paralysis and into a state of action, which is ultimately what we all want to be doing. So where I always start is like backing up a second. Yes, of course, we'll get to the nitty gritty of when do I post and how do I post and what do I post. But I think before we can even get there, it's really about setting the foundation. We talked about it a little bit in the beginning of like the same principles apply across industries and across accounts. And of course, there's going to be different variables and everyone's situation is different, but there are a few core kind of principles that apply. And number one is really get clear on who you are and what your message is. So taking a step back, like we want to get some clarity here. We're going to look at, okay, who are you? Like, let's talk about it. Let's see what you as a person have to offer. Are you any of those things we mentioned before? Are you a parent? Are you a business owner? Are you a trainer? Like, let's get clear on it. And then one step further from there is who are you? And then what service or value do you offer? What is your offering? Why would somebody be coming to your account? Is it because you just take pretty pictures? Or is it because there's a certain skill set or value proposition that you're able to then offer your audience?
Right. What problem are you solving? What need, exactly. What need are you satisfying? What hole are you filling? Which is consequently what she said.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm here to keep it enlightening, but immature at the same time. It's a rough balance, but I think I've mastered it.
I would expect nothing less at this point. So I think, you know, you want to start there with yourself, but you also want to do the same thing for your brand or your business. And the importance of doing that is that once you have that all written down and mapped out, you can then compare and contrast and see just from the get-go, where's the crossover between what you offer and what your brand offers? Are they completely different? Do you have 5 brands with completely different offerings? And really getting, again, I'll say it over and over, getting clear on what you offer, what your brand offers, and then how many different offerings you have so that ultimately we can then work that into the strategy and the overall game plan.
Okay, so if I were to be taking notes, I would say define your identity and your value and your value proposition.
Yes, and do that for yourself as well as any brand, business, or company that you own.
You know what? Later in this podcast, actually, after you kind of go through the spiel, because you said that was step one, I'm very interested in hearing steps one through however many steps you have. I would be very interested to get your take on some of the stuff that we're doing and that I'm doing, and for you to tell me, you know, you rate me 1 through amazing or 1 through 10, whatever, on each of the different elements that you're saying, and actually utilize this as, and you can be as rough and as real with me as you humanly want to, or stroke me, because contrary to popular belief, I'm not immune to kind words. So after you're through giving me the strategies and the solutions, I'm really interested to hear how you feel like we're doing as a brand or as a personal brand, and some of the do's and don'ts that, you know, you can use me as a critique to exemplify and tell other people don't do this or do this. So I took a note on what you said, identity and value proposition. I'll continue taking notes. You make a little mental note that you get to fuck me up with some truth by the end of this combo. How about that?
I mean, in my biased eyes, you get 100s across the board, but I will do my best to give you some truth bombs.
Okay. I somehow you'll always find a way to be constructively critical, but I appreciate the undertone of love. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So someone gets clear. Who are you? What are you? What do you stand for? And what problem do you solve? What's your value proposition? I think most people, if they think about it, especially businesses, are able to answer that within a reasonable time frame if they don't already have their mission statement written down. The one thing I will say is, because you have said this and thought about this and articulated this once upon a time, you are not fucking done. Let me repeat that. Because you wrote this down and because you identified this once upon a time, your quote unquote brand identity or personal identity, dude, we are all creatures of limitless motherfucking potential. We are the one true sign of life is growth, and you're growing or you're dying. So if you did what I did in my first company coming out of San Diego State, you know, it was a public insurance adjusting firm. You know, when I wrote the mission statement in my little suit and tie and was all pumped and gave my presentation, and then it went into a standard operating procedure that took me 4 months to build, and then I never fucking looked at it again ever. You need to revisit that shit. You need to go back and just be like, oh yeah, brand identity, we got it. Oh yeah, look at our website about us. Look at our mission statement. Look at our, you know, whatever. Speaking as a guy that has built and grown and sold and then relaunched multiple different entrepreneurial ventures, dude, this is not something you write down like a homework assignment. This is something that you write out and you add to and you embody, and it integrates with your fucking beingness, with your soul, that, you know, you wake up and you're living, eating, breathing, sleeping, fucking posting, podcasting from that identity, because it's who you are and it's what you are constantly creating and constantly growing into and constantly expanding. And I think most people have discussed or identified, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. This is the problem that I solve. But if you're solving the same problem that you were solving 4 years ago, in a general sense, maybe it's fine. But specifically, you're a fucking dinosaur. I think we've had more written words on Twitter in the past year alone, just Twitter, one platform, than we had in the entirety of human written language up till the year 2000.
That's so trippy.
If that, and I also heard that 38.6% of statistics are made up on the spot, but go Google that shit. I actually heard that from James Altshuler, who might know a thing or two about Twitter, just saying. That being said, this is something that A, is constantly evolving, and B, needs to be a piece of who you are. Your business or your family or your endeavors are nothing but an extension of your own manifestation. Callie talked about creating action, right? All action is, to quote T. Harv Eker, who I think you turned me on to, by the way, Callie, is Action is nothing but the bridge between your inner world and your outer world. And I see a lot of people that have an inner world that is of in one state, and they're going and they're creating a bunch of actions, and they're very active. They're very busy. They're very to-do list oriented. They're like, they feel like they're working really hard on social media, and then their outer world is not reflecting what they imagined it would. Well, my sense is you're probably not living, eating, breathing, sleeping through that identity that should be integrated into your beingness on a cellular level. Okay, I'm done with that rant. Moving on.
It was an important rant though, and I'm so glad that you're driving that point home, because we're all constantly developing and evolving. And I think if you took a look at the space 6 months ago, a year ago, 3 years ago, the amount of additional descriptors or areas. I mean, someone that was a blogger at one point is now an influencer, and in their own way, a celebrity or a fashion expert or maybe a writer or contributor at Vogue. So I'm so glad that you brought this up, because I do think that everyone is constantly evolving and you're really halting yourself. I mean, there's no growth with stagnation. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
So we'll just say as a disclaimer, anybody that I was going to say, you know, get your identity clear. If you're clear on your identity, get re-clear on your identity. Recreate, yeah. Add to it, or at the very least re-internalize what you wrote once upon a time when you founded your business.
Awesome. Great. So now we know, now we're clear. Now we get it. We know who we are. We know who we're trying to talk to, and we know what we're offering them. And so from here comes the very critical point of setting up your content strategy. At the end of the day, content is what drives all of our platforms, whether it's a YouTube video, a behind the scenes Instagram story, a Snapchat selfie, an Instagram feed, whatever it is, we are driven and we speak in the language of content. And so content is going to be the first touch point that any new person or any past follower has with you or your brand. It's the first place they're going to evaluate you. It's the first place they're going to see what you're up to. We always kind of joke you have a 3 swipes and you're out test for people to decide once they come upon your profile, your Instagram, do they want to follow you? You know, they'll do that 1, 2, and by the 3rd swipe, they know if they're in or they know if they're out. And so
there's— Are you talking about swiping through the feed?
In that case, yes, I was.
Okay, got it. I didn't know if you were talking about like this. Okay, no, right. Yeah, got it.
Swiping no through dating the feed. Platforms. No dating yeah, platforms.
That's exactly. I was going to drop a, what is it? Fuck.
Tinder.
There we go. Fuck. I was blanking. Yeah, I didn't know if that was a Tinder reference. 3 swipes and you're out. I'm like, I'm pretty sure if you swipe once, the person's out. You don't have to look at them again. I'm like, I don't want to critique your accuracy. Got it. On your Instagram channel.
On your Instagram feed. Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, regardless of platform and where you're at, the first thing people are going to see about you is your brand and your content. And so what we like to do is during this foundation setting, we like to think about what are the different verticals or content buckets that you can segment yourself or your brand into. So for example, that might be lifestyle content, might be one where you're just talking about inspo and quotes and sunsets and flowers and, you know, coffee and like all of these miscellaneous things that you find interesting that you could throw into a lifestyle bucket. Number 2 is going to be your expertise. So again, let's just use the fitness example. Are you a trainer? Are you a personal trainer? If you are, then you have that bucket of maybe sharing your own workouts. You also have the bucket of sharing tutorials for other people's workouts. You also might have the opportunity to share your diet plan or what you eat or what supplements you use or what protein you drink or obviously all of your Rev Labs products that you can't live without. So, you know, you might have that bucket. Then you look at, okay, so I know what I can say about my brand. I know that I can share lifestyle. I know that I can share maybe content of me. I know I can share my expertise and my tips. What are other people saying about me or my brand? And you look at your user-generated content.
Okay, I'm going to stop you for a second.
Please
so
do.
With regard to separating your content categories into buckets, right, or your vertical breakdown, I've watched a lot of – I've done every fucking social media course on the planet. I'm consistently on what used to be blogs and has evolved into podcasts and, you know, YouTube videos. If they're not tutorial, they're at least conceptual, where I'm constantly trying to learn more. And the way that I've heard this broken down is not to just list the things that I can post about, right? Because when people just list the things of like, okay, using Rev Labs. You know, I can post about supplements, or I'm Rev Labs Prez and I am an entrepreneur and Rev Labs is one of multiple businesses that I run, or Inside Out Empowerment is a podcast. And even if you get clear and you're only focusing on one of those, in Rev Labs, it's like, okay, user-generated content and Fitspo and tutorials of like, this is how you lift, this is how you eat, this is how you whatever. And, you know, offers like, here's supplement sales. You don't just list them out, right? Talk to me a little bit about more when you're coming up with your content creation strategy and you're separating them into buckets. Really walk through, not slowly, but just methodically. Anyone can make a list in 10 seconds about what type of stuff that they can post about, but what are they supposed to do once they have like the different buckets broken down?
Great. So glad you asked. The whole point of maybe this list making or category defining is so that you can then create the content that supports that. Okay. So if I know, and the reason it is good to at least, even if it is a list, to at least have that out, is that then you can decide how much of each type of content you need on any given month. And you can kind of work backwards to actually physically create that content, take those photos. So for example, if you know in a given month, I've now decided I need, you know, 10 videos of an easy on-the-go travel move, but I also need 10 recipes for a smoothie using this product, but I also need 10 random filler content photos. What you can then do is say, okay, I'm going to break this out, and I think I can accomplish all of this content in one or two photo shoots. So rather than leaving it up to chance or wondering if I'm going to feel like taking a video tomorrow when I go to the gym, or wondering if I need to bring a change of clothes so that I can get that smoothie pick right before I have to go to this meeting, that is where you're going to get back to your original problem of stress, chaos, analysis, paralysis. So rather than leaving it up to chance, you get clear on your buckets and then you say, all right, great. I'm going to find myself a consistent freelance photographer or content creator. And we all know there's a million and one of those on Instagram that you can very easily DM or reach out to. And I'm going to set myself up to do a monthly or, you know, every 2 week content shoot. And then you can get a kind of game plan of, okay, for this content shoot, I know that I need to get myself in four different outfits because I am going to do a Monday tip on video every Monday and I need four for the month. So you're going to get four different outfits. You're going to bang out the videos. You're going to bang out a few photos in each outfit. Maybe you're going to throw it on a workout outfit and do a few moves. Maybe either that same shoot or you're going to segment it out. You're going to do a shoot in your kitchen and do your recipes, but you're setting yourself up for success so that you have the content set and all of your assets ready to go, so that you can stay consistent, you can get to your daily posting, you can get to your offering, you can make sure that you're hitting all of your different categories or verticals and you're not forgetting any because you've pre-planned for it. And then if and when you're on the go and you have some amazing thing happen or, you know, something really cool happens in that moment, that's just another additional piece of content that you can put up rather than scraping and scrambling and going off the grid.
So, okay, I have two responses to that. Number one, quick note to all of my beautiful female ambassadors out there. And Callie mentioned banging out and photographers. So in the name of banging out and photographers, to all my beautiful female, young, impressionable women out there, just because some fuckhead has a camera and something that has .official in his name on Instagram does not mean he's an actual photographer and does not mean that you should put yourself in a compromising position to be able to shoot with them. Make sure somebody is vetted, get a couple of fucking references. It drives me crazy when some creep slides into a DM and because they're using the guise of I have an opportunity for you or I'm a photographer, look at some of my work, and it may or may not be some of his work. I don't like people getting into weird, risque situations with complete strangers, and never, ever, ever go into a hotel room unless the door is open.
Yeah.
Just straight up. I mean, this is a real fucking thing, and I'm playing daddy for a second here. Just because you're young and ambitious and aspiring, do not compromise your safety with we want to be connected to people, be selective and be smart and be safe with the people that you are connecting with. And I know if you're a girl on Instagram, you know exactly what the hell I'm saying, that Mr. Dot Official, I saw a meme once. It was like a chick who's like super hot. And I don't know, maybe she was like 22 years old, right? And she was like, has no pants on whatsoever and had like Cheerios or like milks and like Cheerios spilled out all over the ground and was spread eagle with the bowl like covering her. And it was actually like a pretty hot shot, right? But I'm like, imagine what they had to do to get that shot. And I really hope that that person knew that photographer well. I think it was like, hey, babe, yeah, you know what? Here, just I know you're eating right now. Take off your pants and throw that cereal on the floor. Spread eagle and cover your kitty with the bowl. Trust me, I'm a photographer.
God, that is so painfully accurate. It's troubling.
And it drives me crazy. Luckily, people are getting smarter, but don't put yourself in a weird position. No pun intended. Number two, Callie, you fucking nailed it. You nailed it with, dude, having a prep bag with change of clothes. I can't tell you. I help do a lot of the management for a lot of our bigger influencers where I'll actually be logged into their accounts, especially the people that I kind of interface with or work in or around my office. You know, I know at least for product shoots and for my girlfriend, Liz Corvino, you know, she's not wildly massive. I think she's at like 250,000 followers. It's substantial, right? And she just started putting effort into it in the last like 12 months, mind you, on the side of like running all the finances for our enterprises and real estate portfolio. She's a CFO for three of my businesses and does Instagram like as a piece of her life, not as her entire life. She always has a bag ready, and one is like a cute, presentable, semi like work outfit, pencil skirt type thing, a change of gym clothes and Rev Labs products and apparel in case we're ever walking somewhere and we have a cool light or a good scenery or something is working. I can be like, dude, change the shirt out. Let's get another two. And you'd be surprised with changing positions and changing the angle and changing. You said have a couple changes of outfit. Dude, that is so clutch. You can literally get. I had an influencer who lived with me for about 6 months and we laughed because that was 3 years ago. He lived with me for a year and he still fucking posts shit from my backyard in like one of 70,000 variations that he did in one 30-minute shoot. I'm not recommending that you do that, but to speak to your point, to get out of the chaos, I don't know what to post. I don't have shit to post. You can fucking kill a lot of birds and a lot of posts with one stone or one shoot that does not have to be planned, doesn't have to involve Cheerios or nakedness. And a couple of changes of outfits just to have in the trunk of your car really is helpful. So the notes I have here are A, have a fucking couple changes of clothes in case something is working. Number two, have an on-staff or a freelance photographer that you can work with and have a scheduled time once a month, twice a month, once every 6 months, whatever the fuck it is. So there's an anticipation and a structured schedule that you can get for dirt cheap, but somebody that's reliable and someone that you have to hold yourself accountable to actually be generating content on a regular basis. And then number three is having a freelance designer or an in-house designer. I know my world erupted when I pulled my designer in-house. And by the way, you can do this for way cheaper and just go to like Odesk or Fiverr or, you know, outsource to India. And you can get really, really talented people that have like 72 PhDs, you know, for like 6 cents an hour or something, you know, to really generate high quality stuff. If your identity is clear and you communicate your vision, for some of them, you have to speak Hindi or use Google Translate. But I recommend finding one that speaks English. And if you just say, hey, I want one creative a week, or I want four creatives a week, or whatever your schedule is, if you have someone that is reliable, that is assisting you in generating content using pictures or concepts or products or Black Friday sale or 50% off or whatever language you're giving them, but they know they have to be producing a certain amount of whatever it is for you. I think you nailed that so hard, Callie. Pull the freaking chaos out of it. Mm-hmm. Pull the randomness out of it. Pull the creative thought process out of when do I post and what the fuck do I don't have enough content in my gallery, and spend your creative energy units on the strategy part, not the structural part. Instead of I don't have anything to post, I know you guys have felt that before that are listening. be like, dude, I have like 7 gems right now that I want to post. I don't know which one I want to post is a way better problem to have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then from there, like you said, you can focus on the strategy and get us back to this original solution or problem solving for, okay, so now I know that I have all these different areas I want to talk about. Well, now I have the content to support those areas. So now it's just a matter of how and when and in what order or in what sort of editorial calendar or in what sort of percentage of posting, you know, do I give each of these things attention to, which is a much, much more streamlined kind of focus point than all the way back at square one saying, not only do I not know when and how and what to post, I don't have the content to even start thinking about.
Understood 100%. Great. So vertical buckets, separating your content into categories, and then putting the different strategies in place to create that clarity and that structure and the actual content production once you've established that. Something you touched on real quick that I cut you off for because I wanted those flushed out, and I'm really happy that we did, because if you take nothing else from this podcast, aside from the fact that Callie is as beautiful and talented as she sounds here, and everyone needs to go follow her. Her Instagram name is fucking awesome. It's literally just at Callie, C-A-L-L-I, like the true gangster she is, just infinitely sophisticated in her simplicity, is get your identity straight, know your value proposition inside and out. This is what I'm offering. Separate the 3 or 4 categories of types of content you want to post. Schedule, you know, once a month, once a quarter, I don't care, with a photographer. Have a couple different apparel changes at any given point, and have at least a relationship available to you with some sort of freelance designer. And then as you grow, you can get 1 or 2. I mean, I have 2 designers, you know, 2, one of which is completely on staff full time for Rev Labs. And then I have a backup to her in-house. And then I have about like 9 people if there's ever an emergency or I don't like the way a creative turned out or someone's having technical difficulties or a Dropbox got bombed or something, whatever, that I can go to for backup. And that's been crucial for me. Just those pieces, guys, are game changers for your social media. Like straight up, you're gonna alleviate so many energy units and get out of that chaos and that stress and get into the fun and the creativity and the engagement pieces that if I were you, I would be taking notes. If you're driving, that's no excuse. Just kidding, it is. Please don't text and drive. Please don't write and drive if anybody still uses pads and pens like I do. But feel free to save this, download it, share it, re-listen to it. We're not done, but you know, really get clear on those takeaways, because I know when I implemented them into my businesses, the shift and the explosive velocity created by having the fundamental structure in place is unparalleled, and I can't give that enough emphasis. So you touched on, before I cut you off real quick, user-generated content. This is, in my opinion, one of the highest value elements of a business, and also one of the most misunderstood and gets overly complicated. So give me a little bit of insight on UGC in general and how to utilize, provoke, what elements to consider when having your audience generate content for you, your users, your followers, your customers, you know, different kinds, maybe touch on ambassadors. I don't know. Tell me, you mentioned user-generated content. I think we could do a whole freaking podcast just on that, but absolutely, give me a quick brush.
Cool. Yeah. So user-generated content, like you said, I think UGC is one of the most profound, I don't know if it's creations, but one of the most profound changes in the world of marketing these days. And so just to back it up and kind of explain what it is user-generated content is literally any content generated by a user. And so what that means is anything that your fans, followers, the rest of the world is putting out about your brand that is not coming from the voice of the brand, that's not coming on behalf of the brand. And when you think about it, it's really the most honest and clear and unbiased in, you know, for the most part, opinions that anyone is going to get about your brand. It's why something like Yelp exists. It's other people giving reviews, talking about your product, talking about you, talking about their experience, their transformation, you know, before and after, anything that they can share about their experience from having some sort of touch point with your brand or your product. And so that's a very, very real opinion. And it's, think about, you know, how many people check Yelp before they call a doctor's office or, you know, maybe before they go to a restaurant. Well, now that's what people are doing with Instagram. I can't tell you how many restaurants I've thought about trying. And before I ever agree to go, I look at the geotag. I want to know what the food looks like. I want to know what the lighting looks like. I want to know if I'm going to be able to get a good gram when I go to that restaurant. And so I am relying on user-generated content and I'm relying on the voice of the masses to tell me something about this brand, about this person, about this product that I wouldn't know otherwise. So number one.
Yeah, I also think about 99% of people do that before they date now.
Yeah.
Is they go and they see what's up, what are they tagged in, what do they look like on Instagram. I don't know if that's completely in the vein of what you're saying, but I know if I get an email inquiry, the first thing I do is I scope them on IG too to say like, you know, what do they look like? How do they feel? Maybe not so much how the lighting is. But yeah, dude, if anyone has Adobe Gains or Photoshop in their top six, I won't bring them on.
100%. And I think a byproduct of me working in social media is that I am now a private investigator and can literally tell you anything about anyone through my extensive stalking on social, which may or may not be a good thing, but I will tell you the skill is real.
Potentially unhealthy, but highly informative. Please, if you can figure out anything on anybody, don't start digging into me. And if you do, you know, send me a side text because that could get scary.
Yes, true.
I think you know most of it firsthand by now.
Also true. So with user-generated content, I think that number one, it's your reviews. It's a source of credibility and authority and all of the things that you want to know. But number two, and arguably equally as important, if not more for brands, is that it's content generation. If you are a product or you are a new business and you don't have thousands of dollars to be spending on product shoots and photography and studio sessions, there's so much to be gained with getting your product in the hands of real people and allowing them to create content for you. And then not only that, you're hitting another area, which is, okay, great. Now this person has not only created photos that I can then reuse or repurpose or videos on my channels, but now everybody who follows them has seen my brand, heard of my brand, and I'm generating brand awareness. So you are hitting so many important and key buckets for growth and for, you know, scaling the shit out of your business or your brand by getting it in the hands or getting the people who have had any sort of touch point with you to then talk about it on your behalf.
Understood. So would you separate UGC into two separate categories? I mean, you could probably separate it into a lot more, but would you say that there are people that are representatives of your brand, like athletes or influencers or, you know, people that are not speaking from the voice of the brand, they're speaking through their own voice, but on behalf of the brand? And when I'm saying, would you, I mean, this is generally the way that I think about it in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the other piece is like attendees, customers, consumers, reviewers, before and afters, like people that have used your stuff and are totally unconnected from what you're doing. They are on the receiving end of your value and are sharing their experience with it. Would you agree that those are two separate categories that should be like treated differently and should have a different approach when trying to elicit the type of UGC that you're going to get and you're going to post?
Yes, definitely. And I'm glad you brought that up because there's obviously a very big difference between somebody that might be your ambassador who is also in it with you or incentivized or passionate about growing your brand. And they're going to have not only a different caliber of and quality of content, they're also probably going to have much larger following than your average, whereas a user who just is a fan of your podcast or a fan of your product who might have 200 followers and terrible content, but they're still a very important and a very integral part of the whole system, which is, yeah, they might have 200 followers, but I can pretty much guarantee those 200 followers actually care about what they do and who they are and what they're posting about. And again, it's just showing the credibility of your reach. But yes, I would split them into two different categories.
Okay. So an ambassador program is definitely something that I want to have you on, maybe with the head of my ambassador program and some of my top influencers. And we can just have a fucking mastermind session. You can walk us through the conceptualization of how to approach it and strategically organize it and execute it. And then maybe they can talk about being an influencer and being someone that interfaces with the ambassadors, the do's and don'ts, and some of the things to look out for that are positive or negative. So let's not go into the whole ambassador program and influencer program. What I would like to do is there's a lot of people out there that, you know, may or may not have UGC available to them due to budgetary reasons, time constraints, whatever bullshit stories people tell themselves about why they can't do something. But if setting up an ambassador program is not the first piece, I know a lot of individual brands and individual like personal brands, I should say, that are fitness influencers slash personal trainers slash have a quasi apparel line. They're not really going to look to set up an ambassador program.
Right.
You know, if you're like a hot dog company, you may not be like, I eat Oscar Mayer wieners or whatever as like an ambassador program. That might be something that's tough. They might not be sponsoring athletes and influencers. So speak to me a little bit about the do's and don'ts and how you generate or how you should elicit or attempt to invite people to generate content for you. Obviously, if you have stuff that's good, or I guess if you have stuff that's like really shitty, either end of the scale, there's going to be a certain amount of fucking tags that are happening automatically. I think RevLabs is tagged, and you know, RevLabs Prez and RevLabs Prez are tagged, I don't know, hundreds of times a day. And these are not from people that were running contests or were like provoking in any way. So some of it will be organic, but to give yourself a little boost and to start utilizing some UGC, do you have any thoughts on strategy that anybody can kind of implement or think about? Or is that something that really just varies too much business to business, you know, according if they're fitness or an in-person location or whatever?
You know, I think it does vary. However, there are certain kind of tactics that I think apply no matter what, which is sometimes, you know, no offense to the general population. However, and myself included, sometimes people need things handed to them on a silver platter to really understand. And so what I mean by that is you can't put out a product, post some really high quality, incredible photo shoot content, and then expect your audience or potential future audience to understand how they can create something that would fit in with what you're producing. And so what you really need to do or what you really want to do is essentially create content, post on your own channels, your own Instagram, with images that somebody themselves could possibly also generate and take. And the idea is,
can you give me an example of that?
Yes, absolutely. So let's say you are a yogurt brand, for example, and you might
something I aspire to be. Good choice.
Obviously, I don't know why that came to mind, but we'll go with it.
Awesome. Fucking awesome. All right, super, so I'm a yogurt brand. I'm sexy. Writing that down. Yogurt brand equals me. Okay.
Yeah, so you're a yogurt brand. Now you could post
no shit
100%. You could post some like, you know, yogurt here and there, and it's not going to be very exciting. However, if
I beg to differ, as speaking as a yogurt brand, I beg to differ. I think pictures of yogurt are fascinating. Wildly fascinating. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But now,
okay, but say I wanted to expound upon that and utilize some yogurt UGC, if you will. What are the next steps?
So what you're going to do is you're going to create a really bright, really colorful, really like cool looking acai, like a yogurt bowl, breakfast bowl, acai bowl. You're going to top it with fruit. You're going to put it on a marble countertop, and you're going to make it really like sexy to a fitness blogger or a lifestyle blogger who dabbles in wellness. And you're going to put together this little shot that's like a really cool, I don't know, breakfast bowl of some sort with a bunch of bright colors and is really just attractive. And then what you're going to do is the original kind of goal of that is let me show people how they can take my product and mix it or put it together with something that's going to fit on their own feeds or that other people are going to find beautiful or interesting. So let's say, you know, step one is that's the type of content you put out there and then you hope it takes hold and other people start doing this with your product. Okay, great. Number two is let's make it a contest. Let's post that and say, hey, you know, show us how you use our yogurt in your breakfast smoothie bowl or in your morning bowl or in your post pre-workout, whatever beautiful flat lay for a chance to win a case on us or for a chance to get a shout out on our social or for a chance to be featured on our blog. And you start to incentivize people to create the type of content that you want because you want to be able to post it, but then you're also giving them a visual example of what you're looking for that would fit with your feed or that would, you know, lend itself to the type of audience that you're trying to target.
That's fucking beautiful, Callie. Yeah, I mean, I really like the two elements of that is number one, you're giving people the invitation. The top 10, you know, 5% will be like, I'm going to do this because I take initiative in life and I just love this fucking yogurt that is Joshua Nussbaum. And I'm going to like, you know, put a freaking cherry on top and mix it up and I'm going to post it. But the other 90 whatever percent of human beings, the average population that wants it handed to them, are going to do a lot better with two things. One, an invitation to do something. Mm-hmm. It's why every, you know, many shout outs, especially back in the day, were like, follow X, Y, and Z page. If you just tag that page, instead of putting the word follow in front of it, at least once upon a time, I think it's shout for shout has mutated a lot over the last like 18 months. The people are like, I don't have an instruction to do that. So while I may look at it, I might not follow them. Mm-hmm. And the conversion rate was way lower. So good job. Like, what do you want? If you want UGC, if you want someone to generate something for you, make the fucking ask. Give them the invitation of like, show us X, Y, and Z variation of our product or a thing that is a breakfast thing or a transformation thing or a whatever subject it is using our brand, service, product, whatever. So number one, you're right. If you don't ask, you don't fucking get. I read a book called Ask and It Is Given and it's so true, right? You don't make the ask and just assume people are going to know what to do. Make it explicit for them. And then for all the people that just automatically are making like kind of pretty looking yogurt bowls, not for Instagram purposes, but like eat acai bowls using my yogurt, may not know exactly what they're looking for. So even though they are pretty, they don't know that that's what the brand wants.
Right.
So posting an example of like, this is one variation of how awesome my breakfast is. Show us how awesome your breakfast is for a chance to win a lifetime supply of Joshua's yogurt, you know? So post an example and then invite people to do it. Invite people to replicate or give a variant of that variation of that example. And then number three is incentivize them to do so with winning something.
I think there'd be a lot of people signing up to win a lifetime supply of Joshua yogurt, but that's just my personal opinion.
And you know what? I respect your opinion. And personally, I'm going to enter my own contest if that's allowed.
Yes. Always.
Too crazy, too silly. We've been very serious for quite some time now. Great. Okay. So for UGC, give an example of what you want it to look like or what it could potentially look like.
And then incentivize it.
So give them the example, invite them to do it, and then incentivize them for doing it. That right there is, ladies and gentlemen, that is a hard takeaway. Write that the fuck down. Give somebody an example if you want them to generate content. Request them to do it. Give them the invitation or directive or request and then incentivize them doing so. Mm-hmm. Again, this does not mean, I repeat, this does not mean give us a before and after that can be fake or that we're not going to verify or whatever. And if you give us a before and after, we'll give you free shit. That's very different. Mm-hmm. But authentically, if you're eating this and you're making this and you're using this, tell us how you're making it and using it and eating it and whatever, how it applies to your life and for a chance to win blah.
Yeah.
So that it's not directly incentivized. Or I'm sorry, it's not a direct exchange, something in exchange for something. Right. Because aside from being unethical and against Instagram's rules and regulations, it's also just shitty karma. And we live in way too public of a world at this point to not get rolled if you're doing shady shit. So take the gems, don't take the gems and molest it like the human species has a tendency to do. Keep it real and keep it strong and just let your audience floor you when you invite them into greatness, seeing how much fucking shit they're going to be able to wow you with to pick up your concept and just run with it. I know I personally am pretty gifted entrepreneurially. I'm the hardest motherfucker in the room. You know, I work 7 days a week, early in the morning till late at night. And when I wake up and have a crazy idea in the morning, I'll fucking wake up my team too and call their ass at 2:30, 4. I don't give a shit. It's funny, Liz is here with me working on finances. It's Sunday at 5 p.m. I'm missing a family gathering now. And she's sitting there literally with a spreadsheet, like not looking at me, but nodding her head in agreement about me being a crazy asshole. But all that said, stroking my own 4 inches of fury there for a second, I digressed. I'm actually not that visually gifted. When it comes to the creative side of entrepreneurship, I'm awesome. When it comes to the creative side of content, I'm okay with concept. I'm not the fucking like visual guy. So I have relied very heavily on my ambassadors, my designers, and mostly my users and customers and fans and followers to generate a lot of that for me. And you touched on every single one of those things. And it's funny because some of it we've discussed, some of it we haven't discussed, but you are literally going down the itemized bullet points of things that are pillars of stability in my success on social so far. So needless to say, in case that was too roundabout, 10 points, I agree with you 100%. And I would like you to send over a retainer agreement for me to utilize Something Social as the firm managing my new yogurt endeavor.
It would be a true honor to manage Joshua's yogurt.
Beautiful.
Okay. So I think that's good. I think that's beautiful gems for UGC. Do you want to touch on the ambassador piece and the influencer piece, or do you think that that's something left for a different show and it's just an animal in and of itself?
Yeah, I think that kind of lives in its own universe. We could probably make an entire podcast series on it. So rather than getting too far into it, I think it would be good to kind of end the influencer talk there, the UGC talk there, and bring it back around to our overall solution of clarity and, you know, strategy. And there was actually one more thing I wanted to touch on just with platform strategy, if we have time for that.
Yeah, no, we have time for it. I mean, I think let's not pack too much punch into an intro interview because I'm not sure where, you know, if people are just starting, I don't want to drop so many gems that it makes their head spin, or the purpose is to provide clarity, not confusion, right? But I think that anything that you say is worth recording, and worst comes to worst, people can listen to it two or three times. So yeah, give us a, I'm not exactly sure what you want to go into, but we're here because I value your opinion and your voice. So by all means, girl, preach it out.
Well, it's really just kind of to wrap this up on the content strategy side, is that we've hit on, you know, our different verticals and our different buckets. And I think one of the remaining questions might be, well, how do I know which one I want to focus on more? And so all that is to say is test it out. You know, see, like, pay attention to your engagement, see what's performing better. And if you notice, hey, wait a minute, all of the photos of me are performing much better than my tutorial videos, but I'm such a source of expertise and I really am an educator, then maybe change it to a different platform. Maybe go on to your Instagram stories daily, or maybe create a YouTube channel with those tutorials. And so if you're trying to pack it all in and you're noticing that the numbers aren't matching that, then it might be time to segment out not your Instagram handles, but just the actual platform that you're on. And then if you can cultivate a really big following, or you can cultivate, you know, some sort of
critical mass.
There you go. Thank you. If you can
velocity
and you start having, and you see there's a demand for it and people are calling for more, asking for more, then you can transition it back to the platform that you have your, you know, biggest reach on. But it really is okay to say, wait a minute, this isn't performing well on my Instagram. I better try it out on my stories, or I better try it out on YouTube, or I better try it out on Facebook or Snapchat, rather than just abandoning it altogether.
Callie, great point. That's a mistake I see a shit ton of people make. Dude, A, this is so funny because I say this, you know, this is a sword that cuts both ways. A, you need your umbrella brand. Don't try to do everything under your umbrella brand. Like, I get that you're into flowers. I get that you're obviously into Joshua's yogurt. I know that you have a puppy. I know that you are a fitness tutorial expert. I get that you're a lifestyle person. Dude, if you're a fitness person and you're posting about your dog 3 out of 6 posts, you're probably not capturing the audience of just fitness people. Does that mean it can't be worked in? Of course it can be worked in. But, you know, you guess, you test, and then you adapt, right? Or you guess, you test, and then you scale. You know, I think that's a really good point though, with the adapt part or the scale part. If you're a lifestyle person and the pictures of you are doing way better than with a caption about fitness tutorial and how it fits into your life and what to do, stick with what's working. you don't want to massacre your audience by being like, dude, I'm here to like see you and I love you and you're cool and I like your brief talking points, but I don't want to fucking watch a minute long tutorial plus a 5-page caption. Segment it and go put it on YouTube, put it on Snapchat, go test to then decide, you know, if it, adapt by separating it, change the platform instead of trying to do everything under your main name, and then bring it back once you have proven that that does have room and space to cultivate a separate audience, or there may be crossover, but a different subset of the audience, and then bring it back to Instagram. Because when I said it cuts both ways, the other piece of that is you're going to fuck your life up. That's a fucking huge exaggeration. Jesus Christ. That came out way harder than I meant to. You're going to stifle your growth. You're gonna be an impediment to your own success on social. If you are someone that has 1,200 followers and you have Joshua's Yogurt, period, you know, Joshua's Yogurt US, Joshua's Yogurt UK, Joshua's Yogurt Recipes, Joshua's Yogurt Selfies, Joshua's Yogurt Fans. Dude, you're not going to hit critical mass with those things, even though Joshua's Yogurt is the most amazing fucking yogurt on the planet. I'm going to stop making Joshua's Yogurt jokes. Like, I'm annoying myself at this point. But look, you can't try to do everything under one name, but you also don't want to overly segment it, because in order to build critical mass, you're not going to be able to captivate enough of an audience in every single one of those subsects. So I like what you said. Have your main concept, your main identity, your main value contribution. See what's doing well. Stick with that and have deviations that are 10% this way, 10% that way, 15% this way, 15% that way. But don't muddy it up by confusing your channel. And don't overly segment it, where if someone is searching for you on that platform, there's 30 different choices. So stick with what's working, have your umbrella brand. And if you want to test a different sub-segment of the market and do Liz Corvino recipes or Callie Cholodenko lifestyle or whatever, throw those pieces on your story and ask for feedback and then respond and adapt accordingly. Or put it on YouTube, put it on what used to be fucking Tumblr when I decided, you know, which blog channels I wanted. Back in the day, there was a thing called fucking Tumblr. And like, it was very, very like cool, creative space for think tanky people that were strong in writing, which I was more strong in writing than I was just like an outrageously good looking human being that could just post tits and a smile, which would be weird if it was me, on Instagram. And as a result, cultivate a multitude of different pervy guys, girls, you know, fake photographers all looking for yogurt. Fuck, I said I was going to stop making yogurt jokes. I can't help myself.
It's too good.
That being said, stay in your fucking lane. Yep. Know what it is that you're doing. And if you want to test a subsegment, or you think you have a shit ton to contribute, but it's not performing under your current umbrella or your current like main brand, toss it on your story, toss it on a channel, switch it to Snapchat. These don't need to be massive undertakings. You don't need to go spend $1,000 on a camera. Use your fucking phone and just get enough data or enough, you know, start building a little bit of momentum or velocity. And then once you have enough market information or responsiveness saying, we like this, give us more, then go and create a parallel brand or a sub brand in the form of a different page on your main platform, if that's Instagram. The same goes to different channels on YouTube or different, you know, accounts on Snapchat. You don't want to have, you know, 15 different choices. Was that a fair regurgitation of the main bullets of that point?
I think it could not have been more spot on.
Okay. I like that about me. People think I have a mouthpiece. People think I'm actually a good talker, and that's one of the reasons I'm successful. I'm actually 50 times better at listening than I am at speaking. And you're a person that's easy to listen to, that I feel like I leave the conversation. I love talking to people that are smarter than me in certain respects, and leaving having learned something when I speak to you, you're making my life easy. My headphones are singing, Callie. That being said, I think that's a really good chunk of social strategy. I think that's, if we were identifying the pieces that prevent people from living an empowered social media production and creative experience, I think you really hit the nails on the head. You really hit the bullet points that are solutions to those problems. Oh, what do you know? A value proposition, a problem that you're solving.
Look at that.
You know, what do you know? Hence why I'm using something social in the future. Do you want to pick a few of those bullet points And do not give me tens across the board unless you're telling me what the each piece of the board is. And tell me the pieces that you like or don't like, or maybe some exemplifications of some of the bullet points that you went over and how you see them being applied in Inside Out Empowerment or RevLabs Prez or, you know, the RevLabs main umbrella account.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to dive into that. You know, I think first and foremost, we wouldn't be doing our kind of game plan justice if I didn't ask, what is your identity? Like, have you thought about it? Do you, consistently and constantly reinvent it? Do you rewrite what RevLabs is? Has it gone through different iterations? Do you, decide what type of value you bring that's different from your brands? And then especially now with Inside Out Empowerment, how much have you mapped out what your identity is?
I haven't really thought about it.
So don't do what Josh does.
Yeah, I don't really. Is identity all that important? No. So look, you asked about three different things: Inside Out Empowerment, myself personally, and RevLabs. I guess I'll start with me personally, and identity is where all of it starts, right? What do you want to have? What do you got to do to have it? Who do you have to be in order to do the things that you have to do in order to have what you want to have? So knowing your identity, right? What do you want to have? That's your finish line. Action steps, the bridge between your inner world and your outer world. What do I have to do in order to have what I want to have? And then the identity piece that you're asking about is your fucking inner world. That is your inner inside world. That if you don't have this piece, the action doesn't get bridged and therefore the result doesn't show up. So you want to know my identity? My identity is I'm a lover of humanity. I'm a teacher at heart. I guess I would say, first and foremost, I am a powerful and vulnerable and relentless motherfucking leader committed to elevating the consciousness of humanity. I want to be a relentless giver, empowering myself enough to produce results, and then taking that a step further and figuring out how to create the summation of what the fuck it is that I've done and embodied, and then copy and paste that and share it with all of the other people out there in the world that are infinitely more intelligent and infinitely more creative in their respective fields so that they can go and expand and create and become a gangster. We're living in one of the world's most, we are living in the world's most connected, interpersonal flow of communication, ability to transplant our thought process and our ideals and our results and our life and our procedures and our doingness and our day-to-day lives, that we have a that's very powerful, and B, we have a responsibility with that power, to quote Spider-Man, right? With great power comes great responsibility. Or was that Peter Parker's uncle Benji? I'm not sure.
It was Ben.
It was Ben. Okay, cool. Who's also my older brother, who I quote less than Spider-Man movies, but I love him very much. Nevertheless, there's a great responsibility that, dude, your shit is fucking contagious. So be aware of it. So I'm a self-aware person with my strengths. I'm a self-aware person with my weaknesses, and I'm committed to sharing as much of it as I fucking can, to constantly be giving more than I'm taking. That's who and what I am. Is that clear? Or should I keep going for another hour?
I mean, I'm fucking fired up. I don't know. I think
no,
it's so,
Callie,
that's it.
You know what? You should be fucking fired up. That's the fucking point. Dude, people that are getting stuck in the what do I do? What do I post? What dude, their identity and their strategy and their purpose is not clear. People are like, dude, you're working 7 days a week. You should be balanced. Don't get me fucking started on that comment. If someone mentions balance or someone mentions luck, a verbal assault is the best they're going to get. If they're a big dude and they're in my face about it, a physical assault is preferable, especially if it's at my jiu-jitsu school here in San Diego. But nevertheless, I don't sit there being like, oh, this is how I generate the motivation to work. This is how I da-da-da-da-da. Like, this is what I do to get my mindset right. Dude, if it's part of your fucking identity, the rest of it just flows.
Yeah.
It generates the source. It generates the inspiration where you have no other choice but to be the way you are being, mm-hmm. which leads to you doing the things you need to do, which leads to you having the things that you have previously stated you wanted and committed to fucking having, which ironically, people all want to be at the finish line without running the fucking race. And the irony of all of it is, I'm looking at a statement right now. I'll put it on my video that Liz actually gave me for an anniversary present 5 years later. after this date occurred, she picked the receipt. It was the first time I had $1 million in the bank, and she does my books. So she went and found it and framed it and gave it to me and saying, hey, this is a reminder of how it all, you know, it starts with your have. What do you want to have? But when you really get the groove of the process and the beingness and the doingness, the have stops to matter as much because it's part of your, it's not part, it's your living and being your identity.
Wow. I love it. I've always felt that from you. And I think that's why for my whole entire life now, I've looked up to you and, you know, really come to you for personal and professional and all sorts of advice and motivation and just fun and everything. But I think what's so wonderful and what I love so much about social media is that now you have a platform to share that and to get other people fired up and to share your message with them. And I think you do a phenomenal job of that on Rev Labs Prez, because it's not, I mean, you threw out that word balance, but it's like, get, you know, balance has no place in building an empire, and it has no place in giving back to people, and it has no place in sharing your truth and sharing your identity. And I love that you've, you know, found social media and Instagram as a platform to be able to do that and to share with other people what you've learned and learn from others.
Yeah, here we are. Thank you, by the way. And here we are being a living, breathing exemplification or personification of the concept of we have a powerful possibility, a powerful invitation by the circumstances around us to impact people. And because we have that power, we also have a great responsibility. So we utilize, you know what YouTube's slogan is? Just out of curiosity, do you know what it is off the top of your head?
That's so funny. I actually don't.
It's broadcast. It's broadcast yourself.
Uh-huh.
Broadcast yourself. And you know what's funny is I learned that in a marketing class my senior year. Dude, I have chills right now just hearing that, because we have such a fucking amazing opportunity to be so powerful, positively or negatively, mm-hmm. and to cultivate our internal worlds. So it's not about content creation. I'm sorry to say that to a social media person. It's about getting clear on who and what you are, what your value is, making that part of your identity, and then documenting what you do and how you do it.
Yeah.
And instead of creating content, you just document reality, which is infinitely more fucking authentic. It's infinitely easier and it's infinitely more impactful. And you know what? I think that's a really beautiful, I know I asked you for a full evaluation of my social strategy, but I really like finishing mm-hmm. on that point. There's about 500,000 things that you could continue to teach. So here's what I'm going to say for all of my listeners. Here's what I would like you to do. If any of this spoke to you, I want you to go follow Rev Labs Prez, and I want you to go follow Callie. So that's RevLabsPrez, Rev Labs Prez. Prez with a Z. And I want you to go follow Callie at C-A-L-L-I on Instagram. And Callie has to agree to this, but here's what I want to do. For any of you that have social media questions, life direction questions, business identity questions, policy, procedure, organization, whatever it is, I'm going to tell you, ask it to us on your story. And if you ask, you tag me or you tag Callie or you tag both of us, ask the question on your story and tag at Callie or tag at RevLabsPrez. And I'm going to say the first 100 people that we get tagged in, we'll give a full-blown either story back, direct message, or email, or contact, you know, a touch point of an answer in full fucking detail back to those people. So Callie, are you down to, I know you get paid for full brand management and you get paid for hourly consulting, both of which are available through Something Social. Are you willing to donate to 100 of our listeners free social media advice?
Absolutely. Let's do it. I want to hear your questions.
Okay. That's beautiful. So we're eliciting a response, and that's our offer and my gift to you. It would have been weird to twist Callie's arm like that and for her to say no. So way to be a smart business person. And I would apologize and tell you I'm sorry for putting you in the position, but I would be lying. Guys, ask us your questions. You can make them general. You can make them strategic. You can make them specific to your current situation. Post them to your Instagram stories or your Instagram feeds. Tag RevLabs Prez and or at Callie, C-A-L-L-I, and we'll get back to you. I gotta run. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be in communication soon. Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. But when it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say. Didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me now. Just watch me now.